Welcome back to Zion's Redemption Radio Network. Today we're going to be covering chapter 22 of the teachings of the doctrine of eternal lives, the law of cause and effect. In the book of Mark it says, "And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear, that with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given." Mark chapter 4, verse 24. In the book of Luke it says, Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. The Apostle Paul stated, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. The Apostle Paul also states, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. The Apostle John said, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Revelations chapter 14, verse 13. The prophet Joseph Smith stated, it's the book of Alma, "Ye cannot say, when ye are brought to that awful crisis, that I will repent, that I will return to my God. Nay, ye cannot say this. For that same spirit that doth possess your bodies at the time that ye go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in that eternal world." Alma chapter 34, verse 34. Also in Alma it states, "Therefore, O my son, whosoever will come may come and partake the waters of life freely. And whosoever will not come, the same is not compelled to come. But in the last day it shall be restored unto him according to his deeds. And if he has a desire to do evil and has not repented in his days, behold, evil shall be done unto him according to the restoration of God." Alma chapter 42, verses 27 and 28. Also in the book of Alma, "And now behold, is the meaning of the word restoration to take a thing of a natural state and place it in an unnatural state, or to place it in a state opposite of its nature? O my son, this is not the case. But the meaning of the word restoration is to bring back again evil for evil and carnal for carnal, or devilish for devilish, that for which is good. Righteousness are righteous for that which is righteous, just for that which is just, merciful for that which is merciful. Therefore, my son, see that ye are merciful unto your brethren. Deal justly, judge righteously, and do good continually. And if ye will do all these things, then ye shall receive your reward. Yea, ye shall have mercy restored unto you again. Ye shall have justice restored to you again. And ye shall have righteous judgment restored to you again. And ye shall have good rewarded unto you again. For that which ye do send out shall return unto you again and be restored." Therefore, the word restoration more fully condemneth the sinner and justifieth him not at all. Alma chapter 41, verses 12 through 14. And again, may God grant in his great fullness that men might be brought unto repentance and good works, that they might be restored unto grace for grace, according to their works, and I would that all men might be saved. But we read that in the great and last day there are some who shall be cast out, yea, who shall be cast off from the presence of the Lord, yea, who shall be consigned to a state of endless misery, fulfilling words which say, they have done good, they that have done good shall have everlasting life, and they that have done evil shall have everlasting damnation. And thus it is, amen. Helaman chapter 12, verses 24 through 26. Also in Helaman, he hath given unto you that ye might know good from evil, and he hath given unto you that ye might choose life or death, and ye can do good and be restored unto that which is good, or have that which is good restored unto you, or ye can do evil and have that which is evil restored unto you. Helaman chapter 14, verse 31. In Mormon it states, and then cometh the judgment of the Holy One upon them, and then cometh the time that he that is filthy shall be filthy still, and he that is righteous shall be righteous still. He that is happy shall be happy still, and he that is unhappy shall be unhappy still. Mormon chapter 9, verse 14. In the Doctrine and Covenants it states, fear not to do good, my sons, for whatsoever ye sow, that shall ye also reap. Therefore, if ye sow good, ye shall also reap good for your reward. Doctrine and Covenants, verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 33. And for those that live shall inherit the earth, and those that die shall rest from their labors, and their works shall follow them, and they shall receive a crown in the mansions of my Father, which I have prepared for them. Doctrine and Covenants, section 59, verse 2. And they who remain shall also be quickened. Nevertheless, they shall return again to their own place, to enjoy that which they are willing to receive, because they were not willing to enjoy that which they might have received. Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verse 32. In the words of Joseph Smith, it says, but as they concoct scenes of bloodshed in this world, so shall they rise to that return or resurrection. Words of Joseph Smith, page 355. Russell M. Nelson stated when he was an apostle, and there's an editorial note, I'm just going to read this. The following record is from the journal of A.C. Nelson, who is the grandfather of Elder Russell M. Nelson, who is a current member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. He is now the president of the church. Let's see. Brother A.C. Nelson recorded a visitation from his deceased father, Mads Peter Nelson, who confirmed to his son various teachings of the Latter-day Saints. The journal entry was dated April 6, 1891. This record not only provides additional evidence for the doctrine of eternal lives, but there is also provocative evidence that the law of cause and effect, or karma, as some Eastern religions refer to it. The reader will note the parallels to the Eastern religions, Eastern teachings of karma, in a twice repeated statement that spirits cannot avoid being resurrected. In fact, noting what Mads Peter Nelson taught his son, that there were many spirits in the spirit world who would to God that there would be no resurrection, seems to connote that those spirits cannot help but notice the fascinating definition of resurrection contained. I'm sorry. I'm gonna read that again. In fact, noting Mads Nielsen taught his son that there were many spirits in the spirit world who would to God that there would be no resurrection, and seems to connote that those spirits are. Reticent to help the reward, to reap the rewards of their past lives. Finally, one cannot help but notice the fascinating definition of resurrection contained in his journal entry, which expands well beyond the provincialism of our current Bible dictionary. A.C. Nielsen recorded that his father taught him that it is just as natural that all be resurrected as it is to be born and die again. Beyond all of this editorial comment, it is personally intriguing that the journal entry would be included in the modern biography of a contemporary living apostle, who, like I said, is now president of the church. And this is what was said. Father, is the principle of the doctrine of resurrection as taught us true? Yes, my son, as true as it can be. You cannot avoid being resurrected. It is just as natural for all to be resurrected as it is to be born and die again. No one can avoid being resurrected. There are many spirits in the spirit world who would to God that there be no resurrection. And that was Spencer J. Condy, Russell M. Nelson's father, surgeon and apostle. Anyway, that was published in Salt Lake City, Deseret Book, 2003. Page 11, the unique capitalization is in the original. Okay, that's interesting. So basically, the account of this thing that happened to Russell M. Nelson's grandfather is recorded in Russell M. Nelson's biography, which was printed in 2003. So, anyway, the next chapter that we'll be covering is chapter 23, the Fistis Sophia, Eternal Lives, a Justification for the Works of the Dead, or for the Work of the Dead. So, I will publish the text to this, which will be in the description of the podcast at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. It'll be in the podcast, Zion's Redemption Radio Network, and it'll be on the YouTube video in the description as well, so you can read these things for yourself and come up with your own conclusions and see if there's any evidence here. I think that this author is stretching to make a point that he believes. I know that there is a doctrine of eternal lives, and that as I was taught by the Father, that we have the opportunity after the earth cycle is finished to put off the resurrection and go into onto a new earth and have a new probation. So I don't know what else to say about that. I know that there's some people who say that the scriptures contradict these things, and I would say it's their interpretation of the scriptures that contradict these things, or there's more to it than you understand. So you're taking something that is a sliver of a picture and you're trying to make a big old picture out of it, a wooden sculpture, maybe a carving, but that there's more to it, and this is one of the mysteries of God. Also, I think there can be a place for certain individuals to return upon the earth. Immortality. I'm not sure about that. All I know is that the Father said there was more to it. And from my studies, I can see how that might be the case, where there is a place for people to come back, especially people who are exalted type individuals who are prophets and apostles who will assist in the work. And I don't know exactly how all that happens, and I'm going to try to pretend like I do, but I think there could be a place for it. However, in all of these speculations and all of these things, like, they're interesting and they're important, but they, like, you don't need to know this stuff to get into a resurrected body. What we need to do is accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and to follow his commandments to the best of our ability, and to be continually repentant, to turning to God and asking him for truth, and studying the scriptures and receiving revelation for ourselves, and not trusting in the arm of flesh, which includes the flesh of our mind, and also the flesh of others, even though they be prophets and apostles, because a prophet or an apostle has a message from God, but we must go to God to confirm the truth of it. Because even though a prophet may say something, and this is all throughout scriptures, people have different interpretations of those words that are read in the scriptures, and they argue about them. But the only interpretation that matters is God's interpretation, and that's the interpretation we should be seeking to understand and receive. So, anyway, this will be a short one, but thank you for listening, everyone. Take care. God bless, and goodbye.